Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you, Quakers. And I'm not talking about your oatmeal. This is Wretched Radio, although that raises, it doesn't beg, it raises a question. Would you like to know one of my rules, Friel? No. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. If I'm reading an article and somebody misuses raises versus begs, and I'm not talking about Alistair, I'm done. If you're supposed to be an expert on something, you are trying to persuade me through your article about whatever the subject matter is, and you say that begs the question when in reality it merely raises the question, I'm out of here. But I digress from oatmeal. By the way, who owns Quaker oatmeal these days? I'll bet it's not the Quakers. I think they keep that iconic picture on the box of oatmeal so that you feel like, oh, somewhere where there isn't a lot of freeways and high rises, there's a group of friends, Quakers. They're just making the oatmeal and putting it in that round cylinder. I think that's redundant, but that begs the question. No, sorry. Don't turn off the radio. Please don't turn off the radio. Are they actually making them? Jimmy, can you tell if the Quakers are making oatmeal anymore, or did they just sell the whole shebang?
Yeah, they sold it, and you wouldn't be able to guess who owns it.
The Biden family.
Well, close.
Right. Well, they got to make those millions somehow.
Pepsi.
Does Quaker oats, what's the difference between regular oatmeal and steel-cut oatmeal? Actually, I know the answer to that question. The former, kind of gloppy. The second, delicious. I like chewing oatmeal. Who knew that was something that you could, what's steel-cut oatmeal? Maybe it's
good stuff.
The way it's manufactured, we'll have to send a letter to Pepsi and ask them how the Quakers do that exactly. Don't know if you're aware of this. The Quakers apparently consider housing people who are in the nation illegally in their churches, in their homes. They consider it a core religious tenet. Then so it is the Society of Friends, a.k.a. Quakers, have sued the Trump administration over a directive on immigration, saying it infringes on their religious liberty. A lot of people are apoplectic about what's going on with the border, not the least of which would be Christianity Today. Cindy Lauper called. She saw that they have their true colors on full frontal display. Christianity Today, quote, in the first week of his second term, President Trump plunged communities into fear, upended life for thousands of refugees, and moved to stop charities from helping immigrants already in the U.S. And they touted nothing that was remotely conservative or biblical. It just sounded entirely liberal. But that raises a question. Should our church act as sanctuary buildings for people who are here illegally that the government would say, it's time for you to go home? The Friends would say, oh, that's our right to do that. And I think that plunges us headlong into Romans 13. What do we do as the church when the government says you can't or you can do something? And the answer to that, it's as a rule, it is found in Romans 13, which in my estimation, don't panic at this, but in my estimation, Romans 13, 1-7 is ironclad. Was just having a conversation with Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He and I are kind of exchanging volleys on this particular subject about Romans 13, 1-7. Good Christians disagree on this subject. It was the debated text for the Revolutionary War in America. Nevertheless, Romans 13, 1-7, in my opinion, it doesn't offer any exceptions. Did I say in that text? Because in that text, I don't think that there are exceptions that are offered. I don't think that the text points toward this is Paul's effort to define the perfect government. And if they're acting like this, then we submit. If they don't, we revolt. I just don't see that anywhere in the text. Having said that, that doesn't mean that there aren't other biblical considerations. We must remember the analogy of Scripture, that Scripture interprets Scripture. You don't read a Bible verse on a massive subject like obedience to government and say, done, that's it. There's no exceptions to the rule, because the reality is we do see exceptions. We don't see them explained, but in the Old Testament, we see Rahab the prostitute. We see the Egyptian midwives. In the New Testament, what do we see when it comes to submission to the government? In Acts chapter 2, 4, and 5, we see Peter and John. They are engaging with the religious authorities because they are preaching the gospel and they're getting arrested for it. And they're being told, shut down. And their response is, sorry, no can do. Why? What do we do with that? Well, when we see a number of exceptions, and when we see a pattern in those exceptions, we then come up with a principle. As a rule, we submit to the government unless they command us to do something God forbids or forbid us from doing something that God commands. And that can be a lot, but I do believe that the Bible offers another category of exceptions when it comes to submission to government, and that is realms of jurisdictional authority. And this is going to bring us back to our friends, aka Quakers. There are realms that God himself has put in place for an orderly society. One realm is the government, families, the second realm, third realm, and you can put these in whatever order you want, would be the church realm. If you want to do it by scope, it would be government first, church second, family third. In other words, the government has a broader authority. I don't think it's as deep than the church does. It has however many people are in that local assembly, but it's a deeper authority because it's a spiritual authority. The family, that is the smallest numerically, but it absolutely has the most power for the one in authority, which would be mom and dad. God defines those realms for us and tells us to operate within your lines. Now, we've talked about this before on Wretched Radio. That can get a little bit tricky. I mean, that was kind of an understatement. We've had a lot of Christian debates on this subject. And it gets tricky because we immediately recognize, well, we don't have a problem with the government telling the church to do certain things, like handicap parking spaces, handicap access, exits, that you've got to have so many parking spaces per number of people who attend. And we go, okay, that's fine. And why do we do that? It's because the government isn't impinging on the spiritual authority of the church. Now, if the government said, you need to have a parking space underneath the pulpit, and you need to talk about the importance of parking at least sort of in the middle of your own parking lines, which is a sermon I believe a lot of people in Atlanta would need to hear. Some of us don't like our doors getting dinged. Could you park in the middle of your two lines, please? Some of us, we even have to go so far as to walk a lot so we can be the curb huggers, so we can get the end spot. Nevertheless, what? I'm sorry. I just distracted myself. Sunday morning, Mrs. Friel was feeling kind of queasy, so she was going to come a little bit later. So I go off to church, and I get there early enough. I get next to the curb. My car is safe, I think. Mrs. Friel then comes later. We finish church. Well, okay, we finish church and then talking for an hour or so. And I go out to the parking lot, and she parked right next to my car. I mean, like right next. That's like a thing in our family. What? And I was, whoever that person is, look at them parking next to my car like that and giving me door dings, honey. But I digress. If the government tells you to preach a sermon on how to park in Atlanta, the church would have to say, sorry, can't do that. And We can't obey you when God is the one who regulates what happens in this assembly. And that is how I think we sort through Romans 13 and the exceptions, as opposed to trying to find exceptions in Romans 13. The Quakers, they believe that it is within their, it is a core tenement in their religious beliefs that they must harbor illegal immigrants. Now, they do that, I'm sure, with some degree of discernment because they can't take care of all of them. But in this instance, when the government now is saying, if you're here illegally, you have to go home, the Quakers are saying, no can do, government. You're getting involved in our realm of jurisdictional authority. And so I think this is an excellent opportunity for us to exercise our theological gray matter to figure out, should the Quakers, as a, we'll call it a Christian denomination-ish, are they in the right? Can they disobey the government to house illegal immigrants and no doubt feed them steel-cut oatmeal? We will try to answer that question next on Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. You probably thought I was getting a word. No, it's the post-nasal drip. It's that season in Atlanta. Well, it is that season. Actually, every day is that season in Atlanta. If you just go out of your house and talk to somebody, how you doing with allergies? It can be July. It can be January. Make snow, never mind. Somebody is sneezing. And might I suggest that we Christians need to lead the way when it comes to cold integrity, flu integrity. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a Christian standing within like 2 feet of my face. Sorry, don't worry about it. I'm not contagious. Well, I don't know that, and neither do you. If you're still hacking and sniffling and blowing your nose, you could be contagious, Christians. I think we could start a new ministry.
What's that?
For this cause, Christian cold integrity.
Oh, okay.
There's a ministry pretty much for everything, isn't there? Well, this year, Ministry is Fortis Institute would like to do a shout out for a new podcast that is coming your way. A new fellow at, that's right, a new fellow at. I don't think the feminist movement has gotten far enough yet to tell us how it used to be actor, male, actress, female. Now everybody's an actor. So as a fellow, just doesn't matter what your gender is. It's just fellowette. Which is it, Jimmy? Are we fellows and fellowettes, or are we all just fellows? I think we're going to go with fellowettes.
We're all, no,
she's going to be a fellowette.
That's right.
The dudes will be fellows.
Okay.
Can I still use the word dude?
I think
or
so.
Or is that just politically incorrect?
And speaking of the feminist movement, that's actually what our first episode's about.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Why not start with a bang?
That's right.
Libby Glosson is going to be doing a brand new podcast as a member of Fortis Institute. Super excited. It's called The Better Way. Not a better way, as if there are other good ways. The Better Way. How to be a biblical woman in the 21st century. And so Libby Glosson's podcast, it debuts this Friday, 2/7/25. Please download. I'm telling you, the podcasts here are just rocking the Casbah. Greg Gifford's podcast. Greg Gifford was just tackling AI this week because there's now AI psychiatrists or whatever they call themselves. You go online or you talk to your phone and they give you counsel. So Greg tried it. He said, I got a problem, AI counselor. Can you help me with it? And basically the answer was, well, you just do what you think is best for you because you're the center of the universe. Not helpful at all. That's Greg's podcast. Brad Bigney, Adam Tyson, John Kratz, his connecting theology to heart. Magnificent. And now Libby Glosson, who, by the way, is going to be doing a webinar. Is that next week, Jimmy? I should know these details.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
All right, next week. So we're kind of just throwing her right into the fire. She's going to be debuting her podcast this Friday on feminism. Why not? And then she's going to be doing a webinar with Martha Peace, specifically the challenging issues that women face. Godly women that are living with men who aren't so much. They aren't maybe as loving and kind, and that every conversation tends to turn into a calamity and it becomes contentious and you feel like you're living in a war zone. Well, there's going to be a webinar that helps deal with those issues with our new fellow at Libby Glosson and Martha Peace. Details on that next week. Thrilled to pieces. I think that means, do we have 9 fellows now at Fortis Institute?
Yes, I think.
Look at the two guys on the radio do math.
We know so much.
We both got a panicked look on our face. Well, we had Well, Todd was here. You did seven. That would be eight. So now with Libby, that's nine. Sort of how I felt on Sunday morning. Jimmy, I had a complete brain synapse preaching through three parables. Told you we were preaching through three parables because they go together.
Right.
I just couldn't separate them. And by the way, I'm not the only one to bite off that much text. I remember a number of years ago being at Michael Youssef's church, Church of the Apostles. Al Mohler was preaching. And he preached through a narrative section. Well, the book of Acts is a narrative. Went through a whole chapter because it was the whole story. And to break up the story would have been rather unsatisfying in my estimation because it's a whole presentation on a subject. Well, the three parables in Matthew 21 going into 22, 1 through 14, same thing. It's three parables on the same subject. You're done, Jewish nation. You are finished being God's chosen people. Now, we know there's a plan for Israel in the future, but Jesus made three devastating divine proclamations. Your time is up. And Jesus was basically proclaiming what he had revealed with a physical withering of a fig tree. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus withered the fig tree. Why? Because the fig tree is Israel. And the fig tree wasn't producing fruit. And so Jesus was doing an object lesson for the disciples. Israel is done because they are not being fruitful. And then he makes those proclamations through the parable of two sons, the landowner and the wedding guests. Ooh, baby. He was scorching them. This is how bad the illustrations are by comparison. Think about Jesus' declarations like this. Let's imagine for a second that the University of Georgia was God's ordained football team. They are the ones they're supposed to be the best football team. But looking at their record after 1,500 years, God says, nope, you're done, UGA. Bulldogs, your time of being my football team has ended. I'm going to the Tennessee Volunteers. That probably offended pretty much everybody in the South. The point is, that's what Jesus was doing. You're done. Oofta. And I couldn't separate them. But wow, did I ever have some brain synapses in describing the parable of the two sons. Because the first son was told to go in the field and he said, no, naughty boy. Second one said, sure, Pop, I'll go. But he didn't. Which one was worse? Which one was worse? The second one was worse. Why? Because he lied and was disobedient. The first one was just disobedient, but then he repented and he went to work the fields. Jesus was telling the Pharisees, you're the second son. Boom. Slap. And I had that sin. I couldn't keep the two sons straight. The two boys, was I getting my wires crossed? But thankfully, watch this, Jimmy. I had some oatmeal this morning and my brain is functioning better. And I took some of your wild mushroom gummies.
Wild mushrooms.
Whatever those things are. The Quakers, not only did they make oatmeal, at least they used to before they sold it to Pepsi, no doubt for a fortune. They're protesting the Trump administration, saying churches cannot be safe harbors for illegal immigrants. And if ICE comes knocking, you better open the door or we're coming in. Should a church do that? Now, I think can be a little bit tricky. I think that if a church actually believes, Quaker or otherwise, that's the biblical thing to do, and they're sinning if they don't do that? Well, Romans 13 says, okay, disobey the government, but you better be ready to pay for it. You better be ready to go off to jail. But that still doesn't answer the question, is that the right thing for a church to do? And my answer is, I don't think so. And I do that somewhat haltingly because in the current context, When you try to have a biblical application of borders, you can sound kind of like a jerk. And I don't want to sound that way. I don't want to sound unsympathetic to people who are just trying to make a better life, that are working hard, they're obeying the laws. Nevertheless, if a church just changed the crime, if a church said, hey, We have to be safe harbor for people who have 74 speeding tickets and endanger people's lives all the time. We're a safe harbor for drunk drivers. We're a safe harbor for people who sell illegal drugs. And that list is getting shorter by the day. Nevertheless, you'd go, whoa, 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 church, you can't be doing that. That's not what the government says. And I would agree with that. I don't think that you're sinning by not breaking the law in this instance, nor do I think that you are disobeying something that is commanded of you. And I think in this instance, the church needs to say, okay, government, if that's what you say, but then that doesn't mean that they should just throw in the towel. They should do the right thing. Hey, come to our church because we're going to help you get the correct paperwork so that you can be here legally. And if you can't, we submit to the government. You'll have to leave and we'll even help you try to come back the right way. But in the meantime, we simply can't break the law. This is Wretched Radio.